Welcome to the 54th episode of Celluloid Tunes and the 18th International Edition. Celluloid Tunes is the first and only webcast about film music here in Norway, and my name is Tor Joachim Haga. So, another year has passed, and another opportunity to highlight the best film scores in the last 12 months has arrived. And for some reason, 2017 did not spawn that many great scores compared to previous years. In other words, there were fewer scores that sort of blew me away this time, and so it was a bit more tricky to assemble a list of top favorites. All of this is just a coincidence, of course, as these things come and go in waves, but it's worth pointing out nonetheless. All that being said, I've still put together a list of scores that I can easily recommend, both as scores within the movies and as soundtrack albums. I tend to use both of these criteria for this particular purpose. So without further ado, let's just delve into our list. And as usual, we start at number 10 and work our way to number 1. And towards the end of the show, I will also mention some runner-ups that almost made the cut. I should perhaps point out that I've heard maybe some 300-350 scores and seen maybe some 150 movies. So I do have at least some foundation for picking and choosing what I consider the best works. But there are a couple of films on the list that I haven't seen yet, in which case the sort of purely musical values become more important than how it works in the movie. On our 10th place is something that I really had to think about. I actually debated with myself back and forth before I decided to include it. And I'm talking about Blade Runner 2049. I'm quite torn on both the movie and the score, as I think it's a rather uneven affair. There are things about the film that I absolutely love, and there are things that that disappointed me a bit. And the same goes for the score as well. I mean, the sort of poetic, Vangelis-like parts were absolutely beautiful and perfectly in line with the original film score by Vangelis from 1982. But there were also some other parts, the aggressive drones, some of the sound effects, some of the percussive material that were a bit too overkill for my tastes. But ultimately, I found these sort of broad, impressionistic synth textures, especially for the cityscapes, so strong that I had to include it on 10th place. Now, as most of you know, the music is written by Benjamin Wallfisch, with some help by Hans Zimmer. Actually, Zimmer served more as producer than composer in this case, according to himself. And it's a score that has grown on me quite a bit since I first heard it, especially in my own sort of 53-minute playlist version of the soundtrack, which was, of course, much too long at 90 minutes to begin with. So let's start off by playing one of my favorite cues from the soundtrack. This is the sort of ethereal cue Mesa from Blade Runner 2049.
Thank you.
On our ninth place is the score to the Dutch Western Brimstone. Now, while the movie by director Martin Koolhoven is, well, it's actually one of the worst movies I've seen this year, sorry to say, but the score is ironically one of the best. Sometimes these things happen. You have terrible films, but great scores. I mean, Jerry Goldsmith was notoriously known for writing great music for bad films. And what the composer in this case, Junkie XL, aka Tom Holkenborg, has done is to elaborate on the sort of more orchestral, melancholic bits of Mad Max Fury Road. I mean, cues like Many Mothers from that score, for example, which some of you might remember. This was also a score that featured very high on our list a couple of years ago. So it results in this kind of very extremely powerful, largely monothematic score that plays upon similar chord progressions as Johann Sebastian Bach or Samuel Barber's Adagio for Strings, which I'm sure was a sort of temp track in this case. Extremely minor-moded, slow, almost religious. And it, of course, it adds to the sort of melodramatic excess of the movie, almost to the extent of making it sort of a camp pleasure, if you will. But I would argue that in this case, the soundtrack album outshines the film by quite a wide margin. So let's listen to the cue Genesis from Brimstone, our number 9 pick on this year's list. Thank you. Alien Covenant received a lot of flack from the fan base, just as its prequel Prometheus. For me, however, it was one of the year's very best films. I mean, Ridley Scott using, as usual, his visual and oral means to explore various sort of deep philosophical issues, but within the framework of a more streamlined genre film. Now, composer Jed Kersel had the sort of difficult task of following in the footsteps of composers like Jerry Goldsmith and James Horner and Elliot Goldenthal, John Frizzell and Mark Streitenfeld for the previous films in the Alien series. And it does make frequent references to the existing music of the saga. There are nods to Goldsmith's themes, for example, and even stylistic references to Horner and Goldenthal here and there. And in addition to that, he sort of manages to inject his own voice, building on the eerie, distant soundscapes that Streitenfeld and Harry Gregson-Williams composed for Prometheus. And this could be, for example, propulsive, low-register hums and beats, or sort of very sithering string dissonance, and even sort of expansive chord leaps to connote the sort of big mythological scope of the story. Now, we've played a cue from this score earlier in our special on the Alien saga, the music of the Alien saga, but let's listen now to the track The Covenant, which encompasses both the sort of Streitenfeld elements and the Goldsmith elements in a very seamless fashion.
Thank you.
The film Good Time by the Safdie brothers was another of my favorite films last year. The story of two brothers, one of them mentally challenged, who try to get away with a bank robbery. It's a sort of very energetic film, both in terms of its sort of gritty urban landscapes, but also in terms of the music composed by Daniel Lopatin, or Lopatin, or perhaps better known under his artist name On Othrix Point Never. It sort of delves into the 70s electronic stylings of Tangerine Dream. It's not really pretty, but it has a kind of, dirty poetry in a way, as he uses lots of oscillation and knob turning in addition to the sort of more regular pulse-based tracks. So let's listen to a few minutes from the opening track, Good Time, our number 7 of the year. I admit that I have a sort of particular attraction towards scores that combine Western and Eastern idioms, especially Indian flavors channeled through a sort of more classical Western harmonic language. 2 years ago, we featured Thomas Newman's He Named Me Malala on our lists, and this year, Newman also had a similar score out called Victoria and Abdul. But even more impressive, to me anyway, was Viceroy's House by A.R. Rahman, a film about the final viceroy of India, Lord Mountbatten. Now, while the film leaves something to be desired, I think I only saw like 20 minutes of the film, which did not impress me, the score is once again Rahman showcasing his unique gift for melody. Rahman, of course, has been a longtime favorite of mine, and I intend to do a special episode on him later on. But he's really a sort of a master when it comes to these crossover projects. Something I guess we first witnessed with the film Lagan back in 2001. So, for our sixth place, let's play the title track from Viceroy's House. We mentioned Thomas Newman earlier, and while the sort of Indian-flavored Victoria and Abdul didn't quite make it to my top 10, another one of his scores did, and that is the film Thank You for Your Service, the drama about post-traumatic stress disorder suffered by war veterans returning from deployment in Iraq in the mid-2000s. Now, Newman is always brilliant at capturing melancholy and reflection through his sort of delicate synth pads and intimate orchestrations. But in this case, there's less of the sort of trademark offbeat quirks that he's so known for. It's a score that rather mirrors the sort of struggling mental states of the protagonists with a sense of, I don't know, you could say reserved beauty in a way. Sometimes with just cautious guitars, which sound a bit like Gustavo Santaolalla, perhaps, soft piano, or just sort of explorative chord progressions. Like, for example, the cue Gunmetal Clatter, which almost has a religious gospel quality to it, in my opinion. Thank You For Your Service is number 5 on our lists, and this is Gunmetal Clatter. As I mentioned earlier, composer Benjamin Wolfish has been on our radar for quite a few years. In fact, some of his previous scores, like Desert Dancer and Summer in February, have been on our favorite lists before. But in 2017, he really broke onto the sort of A-list scene with scores such as It and Blade Runner 2049, as well as a few smaller films like A Cure for Wellness and Mully. But instead of these, I've chosen the more lyrical orchestral score to the film Bitter Harvest as my number 4. And yes, there are a couple of sort of remote control elements in the action sequences, sort of Zimmer-inspired, that aren't very interesting. But the lush sort of Eastern European romanticism is so beautiful it's to die for, in my opinion. Maybe a bit like James Horner on occasion. And once again, the score is a million times better than the movie, which was really quite dreadful. I tried to watch this one as well. I think I managed about 20 minutes before I gave up. But you can just listen to the music. So let's play the haunting cue, Smila Is My Home, from Bitter Harvest, one of several fine scores by Wolfish last year, which surely makes him the composer of the year in many ways. It's great to finally welcome John Williams to our top 10 lists. Now, it's no secret that I've been underwhelmed by his work since 2005, except maybe War Horse from 2011, which I really liked. So I've not yet found room for him in the time that we've existed as a webcast. But this year, I definitely did. And no, it's not Star Wars The Last Jedi, which only managed to get an honorable mention from me, but rather the Steven Spielberg film that was rushed into production to catch the Academy Award deadline. And I'm talking now about The Post. Now, while the film itself doesn't really call for a lot of music, or at least not a lot of pronounced music, I personally think that Williams sort of superseded the expectations quite a bit, because you'll find shades of scores like Nixon, JFK, Presumed Innocent, and even these gorgeous intimate drama scores like The Accidental Tourist and Stanley and Iris. And there's even some electronic textures, which is quite unusual for John Williams. And I think all of this is rather impressive for a sort of dialogue-heavy film that deals with the publication of the papers that sort of revealed the US government's prolonged activity in the Vietnam War in the 70s. It's comforting for me to know that Williams still has it. This is probably a bit like what Bridge of Spies would have sounded like had he done the score to that film. So let's listen to the 5-minute cue, The Press's Roll, from The Post, which has the sort of trademark Williams sense of urgency. On our second place is another familiar name to our listeners, and that is Danny Elfman and his score to The Circle. Now, as with John Williams, I've not been very impressed with Elfman's sort of big blockbuster scores in the last decade, but he's really fired on all cylinders for the smaller sort of indie films where he gets to sort of nurture his minimalist tendencies or more non-orchestral forms of expression. The Circle, of course, deals with a fictional company that develops a reality show-style app that follows the life of a girl 24/7, of course, way beyond ethical boundaries. And while the premise itself is interesting, the film falters a bit in its ambition, in my opinion, and it's certainly no The Truman Show. However, it does allow Elfman the opportunity to write an almost exclusively electronic score, maybe the first time since Wisdom in 1986. And not just abstract textures either, but sort of funky riffs and charming retro sounds that display his versatility as a composer. Now, we played a little bit from The Circle in our recent interview episode with Danny Elfman, so let's play some different cues now. These are the brief tracks Into a Circle and Happy Little Robots. It's finally time for our winner of the year, and we actually don't have to travel that far, because my favorite score of 2017 is a Norwegian movie called Skyggenes Dal, or Valley of Shadows, an extremely strong feature debut by director Jonas Matsov Gulbrandsen, about a young boy trying to find his way through sort of inhospitable forest surroundings. It's a spiritual coming-of-age story, and for some reason, Gulbrandsen managed to secure none other than Polish super-composer Zbigniew Preisner for this film, and known, of course, for his many collaborations with Krzysztof Kieslowski. And Preisner, in my opinion, delivers some of his very best work in years. partly electronic, partly chamber orchestra, and with these sort of gorgeous vocalizations by another superstar, namely Lisa Gerrard, who, of course, most of you remember from Gladiator and other movies. Surely one of the most impressive scores for a Norwegian film in many years, especially how it also allows the music to be the sort of main emotional communicator in a film that is very sparse on dialogue, but sort of filled to the brink with visual and oral symbolism. It's slow-moving, but very hypnotizing as the young boy sort of ventures further and further into the forest and into his own mind. A bit like Apocalypse Now, perhaps. The score is unfortunately unreleased at the present time, but we'll get a taste of this marvelous score now. First, an example of the sort of icy electronic textures in a track called Afterlife, and then Lisa Gerrard's wonderful vocals in a track called Valley of Shadows, Wake Up. And, well, let's just cross our fingers that a soundtrack release will appear at some point. This is the winner of this year's list, Valley of Shadows. Okay, so that was our top 10 list. And as I mentioned in the beginning, I also have a number of runner-ups that I'd like to mention. And these are as follows: Before I Fall by Adam Taylor, Ali's Wedding by Nigel Westlake, La Cœur en Braille by Philippe Chaconne, Star Wars: The Last Jedi by John Williams, Victoria and Abdul by Thomas Newman, Downsizing by Rolf Kent, The Promise by Gabriel Yared, Passage to Dawn by Diego Navarro, Tokyo Ghoul by Don Davis. A pleasure to have Don Davis back doing film scores again. The Emoji Movie by Patrick Doyle, Duckweed by Peng Fei, Ferdinand by John Powell, El Último Traje by Federico Yucid, The Death of Stalin by Christopher Willis, 2:22 by Lisa Gerrard and James Orr, A Ghost Story by Daniel Hart, Tulip Fever by Danny Elfman, Their Finest by Rachel Portman, Youth by Cao Lin, Une Sacre Bie by Armand Amar, and finally, All the Money in the World by Daniel Pemberton. There were also a couple of other scores that, for various reasons, could not be included. And one is Ghost in the Shell by Lorne Balfe and Clint Mansell. A superb score for an equally superb but underrated movie. But alas, things happen in the post-production where I think much of Mansell's music was replaced by Balfe. Of course, what remained of Mansell's music in the film was really great and better than Balfe's. But because of this turbulence, no soundtrack has been released. Only a promo by Balfe, which does not include Mansell's material. So I found it difficult to include this on the list. Another contender was the live-action version of Beauty and the Beast, where Alan Menken reworked his 1992 score for the animated classic. But again, it wasn't quite original enough to be qualified. And there were also a couple of wonderful scores for television that I had to omit, like Alias Grace by Michael and Jeff Danna and Unu Yushu Nautura, or something like that, by Yuko Kanno. The latter is a Japanese epic 50-episode television series, a so-called taiga drama that ran on Japanese broadcast television NHK for about a year. But these are television and not films, so I'll most likely return to them in another episode of TV Tunes, which is, well, it's overdue at this point. Finally, there were also a few more Norwegian scores outside the aforementioned Valley of Shadows, like Anchors of Boats to the Rescue by Gaute Storås and Thelma by Ola Fløttum. But these will be part of my upcoming episode on Norwegian film scores of the year, so I'll save them for then. So if you disagree with my picks or you have your own favorites, feel free to post them below or send me an email. We'll return shortly with the Norwegian episode about the Norwegian film school year. But until then, I wish you all happy listening and a happy new year.